found this in Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's
Signal Holds.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
The worst, Aaron O'Brien.
Of the worst.
The worst of the worst co-hosts.
Oh, and we also have a special guest with us today. You've heard her twice before, or you should have if you've been listening
Returning
to the
champion!
Holly Michelle.
All right.
From the Halloween one most recently.
We are talking about the worst of the worst episodes. Some episodes I've picked, I can't even watch.
He was crying when he was
watching. I did watch them again just to reassure me that they are that bad.
Reassure you. I did the same thing, and I've actually got two honorable mentions, maybe, if I can remember the titles of the episodes.
Here's the thing with worst of the worst.
It's all subjective.
It is subjective, and there's a lot of episodes to pick, right?
700-something episodes.
Yeah, there are some episodes that aren't great, but there's something about it that saves it. If it's the acting or something, some subplot or something like that, that will make you go like, well, it's not my favorite, but I can live with this. I can watch this without me like wanting to, you know, peel my skin back.
One of
my
honorable
face.
Mentions is that. is something like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of those, but I've picked the ones that when they... I literally just cannot watch.
That I will skip. Yeah, these are ones that I will skip on my next like full through viewing of Star Trek.
And granted, there are some aren't my favorite, and I wouldn't necessarily be my go to, but I could watch them again. You know,
I'm really excited to hear what you guys think. Because I want to watch them and find out if I'm going to like them or not.
Bad.
Did you get to go back and hear Worst of the Worst Part 1?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Well.
Aaron, why don't you go first? Since I've already done my first three.
I'll pick the least of the worst of the worst. Okay.
Okay.
Because just one.
You're going least the worst.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to go series order.
No, I'm not going to do series order. This is my least hated. I still do not like it. I would never put it on normally. Is Next Generation Code of Honor?
Oh, that's actually one of mine. So,
is it?
So go for it. See, okay, yeah, we didn't divulge any of these to each other.
We didn't tell each other not to taint anything.
You know, just to not change the results.
Code of Honor is first season, and it's basically...
Third episode.
Yeah, it's pretty early on, and it's the Enterprise needs an antidote to some plagues on a different planet.
Random disease that we never hear of again.
And this planet... that they go to has the only... Somehow they cannot replicate it. I don't know...
When they got a sample of it from the beginning of the episode, they can't replicate it because it degrades too quick or something.
It's the weirdest thing.
I think Beverly just doesn't know how to replicate things right.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
She can't press the button right.
And the whole thing of it is they go to this... It's... They're almost... The aliens are not human. But they're so human-like. Aliens show up... They're all black men, and they're wearing turbans, sort of like Arabs. And it's very, Arabian
Nights.
And they've got
the Aladdin vests on.
Yeah, it's very Arabian Nights, Aladdin kind of feel to it. And they take a very strong interest in Tasha Yar.
Because she can beat up men.
Yeah, she can beat the shit out of men.
They find this very erotic. And whenever they're in the briefing room and like Data comes up with that dumb clay horse and they give it to him as a present.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, can I see their holodecks? And then like Tasha says something. Oh, I can escort them. And he looks at her. He's like, I've totally got a boner. I don't know if I should get up. Just look in his face. It's just like, oh yeah.
But this is the thing. This is the whole, I got two big problems on this. One, I mean, it just reeks of, and I know Roddenberry was really trying to be good about this, but it reeks of like racism and
sexism,
the whole thing. It's like, okay, so there's these black men that live on this planet and they view women as inferior. And
they're only good to look at, and because they own property.
Yeah.
And, like, I was like, oh,
and
like,
it's just, you're like, you could have eliminated all my issues with this if they were just guys that were like green or blue. Instead, they're literally just black guys showing up, like, you know, Aladdin kind of, and
were
you're just
women also.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, the entire race. Which, I mean, I guess is props for Gene Roddenberry a little bit for casting so many African American people in third episode of Star Trek.
But why would you paint them into such a bad?
Yeah, it's at the same time it's awful. But I mean, the story basically goes: they capture Tasha, and then like they have to get her back, and they have to go through this whole code of honor thing where, like, you know, they have to apologize and for letting them take her, and and they have to show all this weakness to them as a sign of respect, even though, like, the Enterprise could just tear them apart, which I also think is funny because they do a fireworks display for the people,
right?
Like,
just how strong we
like,
are.
Oh, we're strong. We got fireworks. It's like, right. Like, oh, are we China?
Well, and then, you know, and it ends up, you know, like, one of them wants to marry or take her as a wife. And
yeah,
and
they want to make Tasha the first, even though she owns no land. Oh, she's just strong. I don't understand. Apparently, she's super hot to them and exotic.
Well.
Because she's white and has short hair.
And there's another thing. I don't even know if I want to get into it. But, you know, the black guy going after the white chick, you know. I mean, it's just, I don't believe love should have any color or anything like that. But it's just, like, the stereotypes are just like, ah! And the other thing is, at the end, they have the fight in the jungle or the monkey bars things. And
it's such a dumb fight. Tasha doesn't swing once, and the one time she swings, she hits her. I'm like,
that was
the longest, most drawn-out fight ever.
It's stupid. I don't like anything
about
it.
Poorly choreographed.
I just, everything about this. And
where's Ray Park when you need him?
Yeah, right. No, but I've seen, you know, early Next Generation episodes that I'm not crazy about. And I'll be like, I'm not really into this, you know, whatever. But this one makes me cringe. Like when we were talking about Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman, when he kind of like rubs her back and you're like, my God.
This is going
back to our last, or two episodes ago, we were talking about Attack of the Clones where Anakin.
It's so awkward.
Anakin rubs Padme's back, and this is before they fall in love, and she just gives him this look, and he looks creepy, and she's like,
talking about sand and how she's smoother than sand is, and
just,
how he thinks his lines are smoother than sand.
It's the whole episode. This episode, Code of Honor, is, I get that visceral, like, this episode should not exist.
Yeah, this episode is bad. It's just terrible all around.
Yeah.
I think they could have fixed it by, like, painting them different colors, giving them some kind of, like, gills or something. Like, make them look alien. Make them look alien enough so that, like,
absolutely,
they don't look like, you know, oh, these could have been settlers from Africa settling on a planet and they just never.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it literally it's awful. I don't like it. I don't like the whole vibe that you get from it. And it just really turns me off. And I just wish somebody somewhere put the brakes on this, but nobody did.
Actually, I think that they tried. Because,
did they?
Yeah, because I was having a really hard time finding episodes that I didn't like. And I know.
Did we all pick the same one?
You guys have all these crazy ones, and I'm just like, oh, okay. I'm going to watch those later. But, no, I read on, I was reading, like, the top 10 worst, and that was
episode.
One of them.
Oh,
and they talk about how, I can't remember if it was the writer or the director who was fired mid-episode.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, and the person who took his place really tried to fix it, and there wasn't really much they can do. The cast
can't fix it.
Episode.
It's broken.
Yeah.
This episode is broken.
Yeah, the cast absolutely hated it, and I think the actress who played...
this probably was one of the things that, like, Gates McFadden, like, hated. Because, I mean, that was one of her reasons for quitting going into the second season. Was she was so... Because she was so upset how sexist the show was sometimes.
Yeah. And it's funny that Denise Crosby, she felt that she wasn't getting big enough parts. This whole episode really
was all about her.
Yeah. I mean, obviously...
Granted, it reduced her to a sexual object and like, you know... She said she was tricked into, like, saying she had a boner for the lady boner for Lutan by Troy after she was captured. I'm like,
didn't she say somewhere in the episode that she wasn't that he wasn't an unattractive man or mm-hmm. that he wasn't unappealing or something.
Yeah, yeah, she says that, but it's the whole premise, the whole thing. Yeah. It just makes the whole episode uncomfortable. I'm a white guy watching this, and I'm like, I find this uncomfortable. If I was a black guy or black woman, I think I'd be pretty offended. You know?
The cast was offended too.
LeVar Burton did Roots, for God's sake. I mean, you would have been like, no, this is not happening.
And he was in the episode. He and Data were figuring out how to use the weapons and how deadly they were or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're metal and they're sharp. I don't think you need, I don't know why they brought them down. Yeah, and poisonous to the touch. So it was just kind of like, but, you know, this episode, I mean, as pitiful as it is with all its racism and sexism in it, it also is like, this episode makes me so angry at the very end, where, Lutan's wife was clinically dead. Yeah. They've got paperwork showing she was clinically dead, and they bring her back to life. Mm-hmm. Okay, so death is... So this teaches... We're a third episode in the TNG, and we're taught that death is flexible.
Well...
But death is almost never, ever flexible. Like, why didn't they get Kirk back? Why didn't they put Kirk back together at the end of Generations? Like, so many other people have died.
He was crushed by a giant iron bridge.
Nah, he was fine. If he was crushed by a giant iron bridge, he would have been, dead on impact, not, waiting for Picard to get down to talk to him.
It was fun.
No, but I mean, there's death should be a lot more flexible, because of this. Yeah. If they can fix clinical death sometimes, they should be able to do it more often. Because most of the time, it's like, oh, they're dead, and then they don't.
But it wasn't.
Don't try to do anything.
It's the poison that killed her, right?
Yeah, but
maybe she
clinically
could...
dead is clinically dead.
Well, maybe if you intervene fast enough.
I don't know. It just seems like they don't ever bring people back nearly as often as they should with, if they've got all this advanced technology, they have time to oh, yep, she's dead.
We can count it.
Oh, let's bring her back.
The alien biology and the poison itself.
Yeah.
And who knows?
Yeah, but still, I don't know.
Didn't she end up taking over the village anyway? She came back and she was
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll take you as my first husband.
And the other guy. And then she takes Lutan as her second.
At least kind of had a happy ending.
I don't know. I know. I agree. It did. This is why it's not the worst. This is not the worst. It's just I really dislike it.
Yeah.
I can't really watch it.
Since I was going in series order, this would have been my first. So I guess this brings you to...
Good thing you brought extras.
I got extras.
I do have honorable mentions.
Yeah, I got extras. Okay, so we...
I watched six episodes because this is going to be terrible. Then I would watch it. I'm like, it's not as bad as I remember it being. I can't know if I can rate this the worst of the worst.
That's what I did. I would I've watched the show, whenever it's on TV, it's always on in my house. My husband can attest to that. But I'm reading all the descriptions and I'm like, no, that doesn't sound bad.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
That doesn't sound bad either.
That sounds interesting.
The descriptions.
And then you're like, actually, I might watch this
exactly.
one.
Yeah.
So it was like.
But the Netflix descriptions are so short. Any episode could sound promising, even this one.
Yeah.
if you write a sentence about it in the nicest way possible, it could sound interesting.
Okay, so we kind of shot down two of ours right there. Why don't you go and tell us one of ones that you...
The only one? Maybe I should go last. Because I only have one.
Only have one?
Well, I mean... So I didn't really care for the first episode of the animated series. I've only watched two episodes.
The first episode is really hard.
Well, oh. I couldn't even pay attention. I was just irritated the entire time. So let's go with that as my, first episode.
That one, that's the one where they go and they find a weird web-like ship floating out in space.
Yeah.
And they go on it, and is there bug people?
There tentacle things on it.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen it.
I haven't seen it in such a long time. You guys didn't have to,
It's a drawn-out... It just they use.
We talked about this last week. Those 27-minute-long episodes feel like they're an hour long.
Yeah, no, this is very drawn out. Because there's no real story other than finding this obscure ship out and just floating out in space, And they have the belts that help them breathe, right?
Cannon breaking. I remember those belts. They're just like the life support belts or whatever. Yeah, they're called.
I just think they just didn't want to draw like them in spacesuits.
It's so pathetic.
I may have watched like 10 or 15 minutes of it and skipped.
And then the end, it's really been a while. It's probably been over a year since I've watched that episode. It's just hard to watch it. I don't understand. Like there are better animated episodes along the way.
Eggmar and Me is watchable, which is the Infinite Vulcan. But our episode on it was called Eggmar and Me, which is a really
fun. It's talking, fun with it. Talking asparagus. Yeah, talking asparagus. Yeah,
Infinite Vulcan and a giant
Spock.
A giant Spock. It's pretty funny. It's
oh my lord.
It's not a terrible animated series. It's not great, but I mean, it's kind of hard to find great animated series episodes.
Yeah, the animated series are hard to. You just got to just kind of let it go. Just be like, this is like, it's like going on an acid trip and just letting it just happen. Just like, I don't
especially
know.
Especially the one we just watched. Oh my God, that was definitely an acid trip. The magics of new. Magus Toe.
Magus Toe, yeah, their last episode.
That was.
Well,
I'm still waiting.
That would be my first one. So I do have another one. But
okay. So how would you say that episode could have been made better? Give it to a different animation house?
The pacing on that one.
I don't even remember it.
The pacing on that one.
You blocked it out so much. It was so bad.
That episode had some interesting concepts to it. I like the idea that it was like a race that had been, I think they were asleep or something. I'm just going on very, very little what I remember. But they were asleep for a long time. And basically they found the ship. There was a lot of cool parts to it, like segments to it, but it just didn't have. The pacing was slow. Everything just didn't kind of like move forward. It just felt like you're always just like, when gonna get to the point? When are you gonna get to the point?
Yeah,
like, I felt it was very much in its own stupid way, like Farpoint.
Beyond the Further Star is what this episode is called.
Beyond the Farther Star, yeah.
And the description on Netflix is, in orbit around a dead star, the Enterprise comes across a huge starship inhabited by a parasitic life form that threatens the entire ship.
That sounds interesting!
But it's...
Look at the end. You didn't even finish it.
You're like,
Well, Yesteryear is a good episode. Yesteryear's great.
I liked that episode.
They draw a lot of from the 2009 movie out of that episode and put it in 2009. A lot of lines. Okay.
It has all the makings of a good story, but it just never gets to the point. It's so slowly paced. It's like
its title is completely inaccurate.
Farpoint and motion picture pacing. You're just like, would you just get to the point? I'm just tired of watching this.
And this episode is only 24 minutes long via Netflix. Like
24 minutes, I'll never get back. Wasted life.
It's. I
could have read a book.
I don't know how.
What's sad is we're all considering rewatching it.
Yeah.
That's the sad part.
No, but the description, like I said, no matter how bad the episodes are, Netflix descriptions can make it sound like it could be interesting.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure a couple of, maybe even more than a year ago, there was a really bad description of like Pocahontas that was, racist.
Well, that's Pocahontas. But, I mean, with Star Trek ones, I mean, there's a lot in Star Trek
some
episodes.
Some squaw falls from a cracker.
A European cracker.
Everyone's like, what the hell? Who wrote that copy?
Pocahontas' great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that actually is not a very good episode.
No.
And it's strange because that's the one they kind of kicked off the anime series.
Right, how did it last?
Well, they had maybe 16 episode seasons? So, I mean, each of the seasons together is almost as long as a season.
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, and it's only one, I guess 16 episodes per season?
Ish, mm-hmm. So that's 30-something episodes, maybe. So,
I gotta say, the anime series confounds me that this was ever a thing.
Because, like we said last week, it's like, this is clearly intended for children. This is a Saturday morning cartoon show, but it's written for, like, adults, and adults who are very dull. because I mean, it's like these aren't action packed cartoons.
Unscrupulous.
They aren't,
or not unscrupulous.
Unscrutable.
Unscrutable. Unscrutable.
Captain, you're so unscrutable.
No,
you're most inscrutable to learn my martial arts that I know.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
And then Kirk's like, I'm the most inscrutable person you've ever met. I'm like, it's like, what?
That's the end. What's going on? It's a very ending line of Infinite Vulcan. And it's literally like, what does that exchange even have to do with anything? It was, and like, I thought, like, when I saw it, I was like, were they working on, like, the word of the day? I couldn't quite figure it.
This episode's brought to you by the word inscrutable. Shoehorned it in three times.
Yeah, no, it had nothing to do with anything. So, okay, so
it was like one of his like judo flips or something like that. It was like Kirk was like, "You'll have to teach me that someday."
If anybody has some other thoughts about the animated series Beyond the Fire of the Star, please chime in. Let us know.
I haven't seen it. No, yeah, email us. You know, and like with anything, like if we're saying episodes that are like. That we don't like and you think they're awesome, email us and tell us why you think they're awesome.
If you think Code of Honor is awesome,
yes.
please
give me some validation that why it would be better.
Refute us. Tell us why.
Yeah, tell us the reason why that was so good. Well, why don't you pick one that...
No, it's actually your turn. I already kind of already picked my first one when you picked it.
It's going to be a fast episode, people. My other one was the alternative factor from the original series.
Give us a brief description of that.
This is actually first season where the Enterprise gets sucked into this gravity well of this planet and meets a man named Lazarus. And there's an
from the Bible?
No. Unfortunately, he would be far more interesting. This guy has a ship that's a dimensional ship. And there's an anti-Lazarus from another dimension who's sort of like the, not the mirror universe, but just like he's from the anti-universe. And they meet in this corridor and they fight. It's literally the most trippy thing. And I can't even articulate how bad it is. And this is first season, and you'd think like first season's pretty good because the next episode after this is City on the Edge of Forever,
which is your favorite episode.
This is one of my favorite episodes. Yeah. It's a beautiful episode.
City on the Edge of Forever.
It's,
I think I read that on some. Maybe it was one of the best episodes.
Yeah, this is.
Yeah, it's easily one of the best episodes.
It's got romance and tragedy and
time travel
and Kirk falls in love with his. Anyways,
Spock trying to make a tricorder out of materials from the. The what 1910 or 1920s
yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's and Spock getting upset. He says like he's got a great line where he's like, "This is like me trying to like build a computer out of bear skins and something or other." It's pretty funny.
Yeah, bear skins and bone. Flintstones. So basically, they meet this guy named Lazarus, and he has a ship that's crashed on this planet, which Enterprise was kind of drawn to. And the hard part about it is that that would be interesting in itself, but the guy who plays Lazarus just looks like some crazy beatnik, which, you know, we see a lot of that in the original series anyways, right? We get all these, like, weird beatnik-looking characters.
Yeah.
But this guy is just...
Extra of the week.
He's just not... You just don't even like him.
They rejected him for Batman, the series.
Yeah, you never made it onto... I don't know. So
he just wandered onto the lot one day.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you'd be good for this part.
You look like a creep.
I know.
Come over here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this Lazarus guy's stealing dilithium crystals from the ship, and that plot is literally confusing.
Why didn't he get doused with radiation from the dilithium crystal chamber like Spock did?
Yeah, it just, the whole thing, because there's two Lazarus, the anti-Lazarus and Lazarus. There's this confusion between the two, because like one kind of does bad things, the other one...
So it's like the Enemy Within, but with another character.
And the Enemy Within is not one of my favorite episodes, just because I hate transporter magic.
And how Spock kind of endorses rape a little bit.
How did he do that?
Well, like, Yeoman Rand got chased around
by Evil Kirk
and, like, you know, basically was trying to rape her. And then at the end of the episode, Spock's like, you liked it when he was after you, didn't you?
He didn't say that.
He basically said
no,
so.
No, he didn't say that.
It was creepy and rapey.
I admit that his last comment with her was a little shitty, but it was more like, interesting side of the captain, don't you think? You know, or like, then she was like, nah, not really.
No, but it seemed to me that he implied that she liked it. Like, I was like, ooh. Like, it was, like, it's been a while since I've watched it, but I was just like.
I've seen that one like, pretty recently, and
it comes off really, I can't believe Leonard Nimoy went along with it.
It was a shitty thing for him to say, but I don't think it was like you like rape. anyways, going back to the alternative factor, basically, because during the sequence of this thing, the Lazarus and anti-Lazarus keep on meeting and fighting in this corridor, and they just like it's like this like where they meet, and they're like it's like matter and antimatter meeting,
yeah.
And there's like the universe and everything turns the film exposure, they turn it like reverse,
yeah.
So instead of like where everything's white, everything's black, and everything, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just.
Like a negative?
Yeah, it's just, it's trippy, it's weird.
So, like, fun idea, but didn't really work on screen.
Nothing works. And, well, Kirk traps them at the very end in this tunnel where they're set forever to fight this battle.
The Antis or the Lazaros?
Both of them. He trapped both of them in there, and this is how the episode ends. The episode makes no sense. It's just...
There wasn't really any kind of, like, conclusion?
Other than him trapping him in there, and he was a pain in the ass. So I was like, yes, Kirk, do whatever you need to do. Let's get on with our lives. This guy is an idiot. And this, in the space, I don't know, everything about this episode, it just, I watched it and I was like, this is just, I cannot watch this one more time. It was so bad. Mm. And the acting, the guy who plays Lazarus, he's always like yelling and shouting and he's just like completely insane. And it just, I don't know, never watch this episode.
Just off his rocker. Okay.
Please avoid this episode.
Are you sure I shouldn't watch it?
Well, if you...
Just kidding.
If you like things like splinters and stepping your baby toe on corners, yeah. Then go ahead.
I just want to see some episodes that I really don't like.
You practice putting bamboo
up your
fingernails.
My last one I'm going to give you is the worst I have ever seen, and I hate it so bad.
We'll watch it.
I'm not going to get into it. All right, so we did that one.
How do you make it better?
You know, the concept of the episode could be salvaged. You could, first of all, recast the Lazarus guy. Don't call him Lazarus. Why would you even call him that? It's just it's too biblical. I hate when they steal names that are like from...
That are quintessentially biblical, but then they don't tie them to anything.
Well, like I said when we were talking about unification, like why do you have the home planet... Of Romulus.
Romulus and Remus.
Yeah, Romulus and Remus. I mean, it's stealing from the Roman culture.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, why would you even steal that? Just make up another name. But you could take that, you could recast the character, give him a different name. Don't make his performance so like, screaming at the other guy and I don't know. It's just, and the effects were bad. I don't know. The story was just convoluted. It's just hard to explain.
Yeah.
The whole story is convoluted. It's very, you try to watch it and you're just like, wait, what? What? It's just, I don't know. You could fix it, but.
Yeah, it would take a lot of rewriting.
You would just need to basically just take the basic concepts and rewrite the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And recast it. It's awful.
You want me to go next since you've only got one more?
Yeah, you go next.
Yeah,
what do you got?
All right, so going in series order, we're going to go with Deep Space Nine, Progress.
Which one is this one?
In this episode...
Which season is this?
This is like season one.
Oh, okay. That explains a lot.
So Bajor is like, they have some kind of heating crisis, and they're basically going to crack one of their moons to like harvest the magma and like... To bring back...
You didn't like this episode?
No.
Fuck you.
The gauntlet has been
thrown. Where Kira had to talk the farmer off the farm?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Such a bad episode.
I have to see this episode.
The division is real.
You guys right now.
You know what? I'll give you, it's not a good episode. I could watch this episode again, though.
I had no care to, other than I needed an episode to say that I didn't like.
Hey, I could have picked many of the ones that I scrolled through and said, I really didn't like this episode, and I'm not telling you guys why, but I didn't.
Well, this one, like, it's just, she's trying to talk the farmer off the planet. Like, it's kind of like a little bit of, like, insurrection and a little bit of, like, who watches the Watchers. And it just isn't as well implemented as either of them. And then like, you know, like, when they go to force him off the planet, he gets injured by one of the nameless security guards who have Odo's haircut.
Yeah.
No. And, like, they injure the guy, and then they wait for Julian Bashir to come from Deep Space Nine to, like, come fix the guy up, when, like, they should have just taken him off the planet then and there and like, got him the proper medical attention he needed. Because Julian was like, well, we got to take you off the planet to fix you, to keep you good.
He wasn't moving.
Well, he's unconscious with the laser fire, he should have moved. The Vulcan credo we hear all the time, the needs of the few outweigh the needs of the many.
Yeah,
the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. I've been drinking, guys.
Hey.
No, wait. So let me play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
The whole thing is, to me, is it's a story of intimate domain, like where they take things, like they say, well, we're going to demolish everybody's house,
like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy,
and we're going to build a highway through here or whatever, and it sucks because that's your house, or whatever, and I get that, but that is I think that's what they're trying to get at here. But also, you have a guy who's into the old way of living, and he's just not interested in moving into whatever future they have in store. Mm-hmm. He wants to, he has his farm. He wants to. I like that old guy. I think he carried that whole episode.
I'm not saying it's bad acting. I just don't like Kira. I don't like Kira.
Kira gets a little annoying in this episode. I mean, but I do like their relationship. He becomes sort of like a.
I like how he hits on her in really creepy ways.
See, I was going to say, he's kind of like fatherly. He says that she's attractive, but
no, but he's like, I like the way you're walking, and then he's like, and then, like, or he's like hitting on her in a gross way, and she's like, and then she starts to get mad, then she stops, because it was sort of insulting, but sort of like overly creepy.
He's trying to get her to leave.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, he's like doing it by like pretending to be nice, but overly nice, the way you kind of get creepy. Yeah. Which, I mean, he's a fantastic actor. Like, I'm not faulting him. I just, like season 1-6 Kira, I don't like her. Like, until she, like, season 7 Kira, I really start to like her because she's in that relationship with Odo, and I think Odo mellows her out. But she's so, like, gung-ho into her, like, oh, we were abused by the Cardassians this, the Cardassians that.
I know.
You know, I'm a freedom fighter, and then she kind of goes into that, this whole
Kira's
thing.
Kira's hard. She's a hard pill, because it's like, a part of me likes her for just being so passionate and fiery, but other times she's like, oh, can you just change the subject?
She drones on about the same things over and
over
again.
Please change the subject.
She's a fantastic, Nana Visitor plays her amazing. She's a great actress.
Yeah.
I like Nana Visitor a lot. I just think, like Janeway, because I think Kate Mulgrew is a fantastic actress, I just think she's poorly written.
Yeah.
Because she just drones on about, wah, wah, Cardassian, this. Wah, wah, we repressed that. Wah, wah, I'm a freedom fighter, I did this. And it's just like,
well,
I mean, like,
she had a bad temper.
Like, yeah, she had a bit, she was very, but I mean, it's like, come on, like, what would you expect if you were part of the Holocaust and you were a Jew? And you survived. I mean, I think you'd be a little angry.
Sure, sure. But I mean, like, early in the show, like I think season 1 or season 2, where she gets abducted by the Cardassians, she's given that Cardassian makeover, and then she like bonds with some Cardassians, and then like, you think she's finally over the Cardassian thing,
I know.
And then she's like, oh, it's just like.
If anybody's listened to our shows, knows that Dave. Has a strong feeling about Kira.
I think she's a great actress. I just don't like the way she was written. Because she's so much more interesting when she stops complaining.
I don't know if she's complaining. I just think she's more just angry.
I guess. But she also, like, but in this episode, like, she just, like, quits work and she starts building that guy's fire pit. Like, it's just like, I'm just like,
I don't know. I think I think this episode is a lot. I completely disagree with you. I don't think this is the greatest Deep Space Nine or any episode, period.
It also has nothing to do with anything other than just it's a Kira story about her feelings. But the thing is,
it's not about
me. Like, it touches on having to uproot from your life. Sorry, it sounds like, it touches on having to uproot from your life.
He's lived on the moon his whole life. He was a farm on the moon.
Yes.
That's where he wants to
That
be.
Sounds fascinating to me. Farming on the moon.
Can I see the moon tonight?
You see, it's a video game called, it's a video game called Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
Harvest Moon is tomorrow.
Is it?
No, it's a video game.
Oh, sorry.
Or you're like a
Is it
now
Harvest Moon tomorrow?
Super Moon, sorry.
Super Moon. Yeah, Harvest Super Moon was tomorrow. Earlier, wasn't it? That was like a month ago. Anyways.
I should know this, but I don't.
But that all being said, I think it's the idea of, they're obviously the progress of what they're going to do for the moon and what is it going to do for energy purposes, right?
Yeah, it's because to keep people from freezing to death on Bajor during the winter or whatever. And the thing is, this does have a very fun B story. Like, my other Deep Space Nine episode that I watched that I originally was going to pick also had a really good B story. Like, this one involved Jake and Nog and how they're they get, some... some Cardassian wing sauce that nobody likes, Yamek sauce, and then they get that, and then they trade it for stem bolts, and then I don't buy O'Brien.
This episode all that happened?
Yeah, this is the B story. The B story is actually watchable. I like the B story
because it was interesting how they just it was like when you're eBay when you sell a paperclip for 5 cents or something like that.
You try
and
like,
then you go to the next thing you buy and you sell that for 10 cents. Doubling their money.
They're trying to get money, but they keep making trades.
No, I know, but that's what it is. They're slowly growing, and they don't quite.
They don't quite know what they're getting into because they're kids.
It gets worse and worse.
But it's I mean, that part of the story I think is fun because it gets us away from Kira for a little bit. But I don't buy O'Brien not knowing what self stealing stem bolts is. Him being like the technology guy that he is. Because he comes in, he's like,
maybe the Federation doesn't even need that. Maybe it's like one of those things.
It's so antiquated.
It's like, what is that?
I don't know. It just seemed kind of weird that O'Brien didn't know what a piece of technology was because he's like the technology whiz.
It's funny. You're saying all these things, and I haven't seen this episode for probably over 2 years. But I remember seeing this, and I actually liked it. And I could be wrong, but I think I got a little choked up at the end.
Whenever she blows up the fire pit that she helped make, and then... She burns down his house because she's like, as long as the house is here, I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
And she's like, fine, the house is going. Because Sisko comes to her and he's like, well, his fate is sealed. Like, it's happening no matter what. And your fate is not.
No. Kira took sides with him, and I think she was trying to do, I think out of respect of her being Bajoran, her wanting to... preserve something of her culture, and she saw that in him. Like, this is a traditional farming Bajoran that obviously their culture was destroyed by the Cardassians, and she identified. She wanted some of that back. I don't know.
And because he was stubborn, and she was like, he was kind of getting to her meat. He's like, well, how did you get through your resistance? Mm-hmm. By being stubborn. So it was like she was kind of connecting with him. They were connecting with, I guess it's not a tear. It's just, I don't care about it. So.
Well.
I don't care about Kira whining. I don't care. Like her weird acts of defiance. Blow up the moon. Get it done with. Forcibly remove him.
They were going to
they were going to crack the moon. Like, they're going to use some kind of big space drill, cut into it, and remove the magma, the heat, so they could filter it to the planet to make heat for the winter.
Is that what they were going to do? I can't remember.
Because they're talking about cracking, that's what the old guy says, they're going to crack the planet, or the moon, so they're just going to, when you break through the planet, you're probably going to mess with the gravity and all this other stuff.
I was going to say, maybe I'm stupid, but don't they need the moon?
Yeah, I would think they might need that for tidal forces and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, it might be a planet that has more than one moon.
Yeah, I don't know much about Cardassian's moons.
Well, considering this moon has like Earth-like gravity, it's probably a pretty big moon. It's probably going to mess up from there.
Yes, maybe they shouldn't grind it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they add artificial gravity to it somehow.
I don't know.
We just found another reason why it's bad.
I literally...
scientifically, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Like I said, it's literally been a long time since I watched this episode, so, but...
Yeah, scientifically, it's not bad. I mean, what it could have made it better is, like, you know, doing the progress, you know, like the buying and selling between, because that I thought that was fun. And then Quark walked into the bar and Odo was asking him like, oh, who is you know, Naga Jake Systems or whatever,
right.
And who's got this land and it's holding up something on Bajor. It could be very profitable for someone who
has it.
And then you know, Nog comes to his Uncle Quark, and I mean, because that was like the fun part of the episode, like them kind of getting in trouble, like running around
right
on the space station. Which I guess doesn't really matter, but to me it was more interesting than a farmer. And then the two mute children who were abused too much to speak.
The what?
The two mute children who were too abused to speak.
Right.
From the Cardassian occupation or whatever.
I don't know. I still think it there's something there that's worthwhile.
Sure. I mean this is all like kind of a personal thing, and I'm sure other people be like, oh, that was a great episode. Well, yeah, I just
yeah,
I just personally don't care about it.
I grant it's not the best episode I've ever seen, and you know, but I think there was some the acting. It's like I said, there's some episodes you see and it's not your favorite, but there's something like maybe the acting or like something about the plot captures your imagination or something, or there's some behind story that you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Well, the worst was the harder for me, because my first three, I didn't even have to think about.
Yeah.
But like this time, it's like, oh, I've got to, you know, I watched like 6 or 7 episodes trying to get ready for this episode. So, I mean, I'm sure there are worse ones out there that I'll find later and I'll have to make a note of them. But just to the ones that I thought were bad and that I went back and looked on, this is the best I was able to come up with.
Right. Who are we going
with? That's you.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
The worst of the worst. You've been going from least worst to worst of the worst.
This is the worst. In my opinion, I don't think I've ever seen an episode that's so taxing, so grating, so just insulting. It's the original series, The Empath. Have you seen this one?
Not recently.
Okay. Literally, this is third season. There's almost, besides a few bridge scenes and a few other small scenes, they're all in a black background. There's no set.
I'm already not a fan.
There's two aliens that are there. They're sort of like Talosians, but they're not as impressive looking. And they find this woman who's mute, can't talk, her vocal cord's been removed, named Jem, and she's...
How do they know her name if she can't talk?
Well, she's an empath, and she can telepathically give them messages and absorb their pain and wound somehow.
Oh, they're like Cyborg.
Yeah, sort of. The idea behind it is that there is a planet that's... A star is going to go supernova, and they're kind of like there's these guys that were studying it, and they disappeared. Some Federation guys, and they disappeared. What happened is these strange aliens end up kidnapping them. Do you want to open that beer?
No.
He got it.
You got that beer? All right. So they were kidnapped by these aliens, and these aliens. Mm-hmm. Basically, just torture these two guys to death, and while they're Kirk and Spock and McCoy are looking for them, they get basically brought into their underground realm, which is all black. There's just literally
or black
everything.
The lowest budget episode of the entire original series.
I guarantee you've never seen anything quite like this. So they're just all walking around in a black. You know, there's nothing behind them. It's just all black background. There's one thing or a couple objects like a couch or a bed that's there and some torture instruments.
Ooh,
you know, kinky. It's just awful. It's just an awful episode. And here's why.
So Jem, the woman who can't speak, mm-hmm. how do I describe it? It's just overacting. You know how mimes are?
You overact and you can't speak. Then you are definitely an overactor.
Yeah. No, you know how you see mimes and you're just like, ugh.
Yeah.
You're just like, please stop. This is what this whole episode is. Except she's not in makeup.
Campy? Isn't the word campy?
Not even. Campy would be almost like...
too good for this.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, that'd be kind of fun, you know? Oh. This is just like, it's hard to like, her acting, she's like, oh, she's like fainting. You know, just they're doing these weird like... very strong. Yeah, I know. Yeah, please.
No one can see him.
I know. But... no one can see him. But she has these very strong.
Like, when you're podcasting, no one can see you scream. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, I don't even want to like the plot is basically that they were trying to these creatures were studying Jem's race and you know if they were worth saving and stuff like that, and Jem can like basically absorb. Like the injuries through her empathic abilities. Like she, like, so if you were wounded, she could,
she'd take them away by using her empathic abilities.
And while that's interesting,
she'd be a good doctor.
Yeah. While that's, and Dr. McCoy gets all fucked up and so does Kirk and Spock, I think stays okay. But anyways, and she helps them and like heals them, and she pretty much dies, and these aliens bring her back, and then decides, okay, well, I guess her race is worth saving, and they disappear, and I guess when the star goes supernova, that they were going to save her and their race because somehow they were on this planet.
The planet of black.
It sounds bizarre.
It's just not a good episode, and I can't. There's nothing about this episode. I've watched it a couple times. Over the last couple of years, and I'm just like, am I missing something? Like, it could
like, like me going to see Star Wars, the prequel, so many times. Like, what am I missing?
Yeah, no, this
should
episode
be better than it is.
And like I was saying before, there were episodes like people hate Spock's brain, and I don't dislike Spock's brain. I don't think it's their best episode.
Because I didn't watch Spock's Brain, but I read about it. Is that the one where...
they steal Spock's brain.
Well, yeah. They use it to, like, power something else. But is that the one where they make Spock,
Lobot.
Dance and stuff?
No, that's a different episode. This one is they basically... McCoy rigs up this... or Scotty. I can't remember who rigs it up.
They make him Lobot from Star Wars.
They basically put this head device on him that can just have his motor functions. And they bring him to this underground city... where his brain's being held,
right.
And they can control him. He kind of just mechanically walks through the thing. It's not a good episode, but that episode is so silly and goofy, and it's got that kind of goofy sci-fi style from that era.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like, you know, it's not, you know, I'm never going to recommend Spock's brain to like somebody who's never seen Star Trek, you know, but it's just like, I'll watch and be like, It's fun, you know. It's just
it's a thing, you know.
It's stupid fun, but the empath, I can't find anything redeeming about it. I guess you could make it a little better by recasting it with a different actress. Actually, have a set.
Well, yeah, maybe we should have a set for a TV show, right?
It's funny because I think I read somewhere that. DeForest Kelly thought this was his favorite episode. I don't see it. Nothing at all.
I've heard nothing but bad things about the empath.
It is just
I haven't
so hard
seen
to
it
watch.
In a while, but I've just heard.
Maybe
I've just
there
heard.
Was something behind their set decision that was like a in the
they ran out of the budget.
Like, you know what, this would be really cool, and then maybe it just didn't translate.
And this funny thing is, like is one of another BBC movies or episodes that they decided that they were not going to air.
Oh yeah, yeah. They said they weren't going to air a couple episodes.
Yeah, like Whom Gods Destroy, yeah. They didn't put in and stuff like that. So the BBC, and this was because there was torture involved, and it's not like implicit torture. It's just like they're basically
suggested torture.
Yeah, I mean it's 1960s.
They didn't pry their fingernails off.
No, wasn't. What was the one with, oh God, I'm totally lost it. I forgot the movie, George Clooney, where they're ripping his fingernails off.
Oh, I don't know. I just know there's like...
Siriana, where they're ripping...
Never saw it.
They're literally ripping his fingernails off in that.
And he's like, ah. It's like, nice to see you.
And then he just dies
Batman.
And Batman? No, it's because he killed the character. No, and Interstellar, or no, Gravity. He's he probably gets it by some kind of space degree.
You don't know if people are listening that haven't seen that movie?
Too bad.
Why would you say that?
If you haven't seen Gravity by now.
If you didn't see it in IMAX, then don't bother seeing it.
Hey, I watched it. I rented it on Redbox, and I watched it at home. It was fine.
No, but like seeing that movie in IMAX was nothing else.
I'm sure that was
Like, you know, a lot of times they do 3D movies now as a gimmick, you know, it's like Gravity was probably, I'd probably put that like top three, like 3D movies I've ever seen in my life.
I can't because watch 3D movies.
Every single time, like something blew up, I was wincing because like stuff was like flying at you. It was just like, the IMAX actually put you there in the movie, and it wasn't like overly gimmicky 3D where like it looks like an arm reaching out at you, but like this little things like specks of metal flying at you and like. Mm-hmm. Coming looks like right up to your face. That was cool, and that was immersive. That really puts you in the movie. And Gravity, seeing Gravity in the movie theaters was like nothing else.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would have been sitting there going, how did they do that? And I would not be paying attention to the movie. My mind would be rabbit-holing how they did that.
And it is pretty cool.
Lots of computers.
I know, and I would be like,
and also,
I can't watch movies because that's where my brain goes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, what are we down to, your last one?
Oh, yeah. My only one.
Well, you did the farthest, beyond the farthest
beyond
star.
Beyond the farthest star.
Which is pretty shitty.
Yeah. Well, this episode it's the only one that I've ever seen that kind of bothers me. And I don't know if it bothers anybody else.
Okay.
Maybe not. It's in the 7th season.
Which series?
Of Next Gen.
Okay.
And it's episode 14, and it's called Sub Rosa.
Oh. this is the ghost one,
that's
isn't
the,
it?
It's the romance novel with the creepy,
the horny ghost.
It just creeps me out. So, those of you who don't know this episode.
You know, it's a weird thing because I've actually mentioned this episode more than once.
It's come up like 3 or 4 times in the last year.
We should cover it sometime.
We should do a Sub Rosa episode.
Commentary, I could not handle. Don't involve me.
No, it's. You know what it is with Sub Rosa to me? I want you to hear what you say. It's just that it's like this, like a
bad romance novel.
Like a bad romance. That's exactly what I felt like.
You know, when I actually, you know, opted to watch this episode on, I waited for it because, you know, it was like, terraformed planet to look like Scotland. I was like,
That's me.
My episode.
Oh,
I
yes.
I see this episode. I'm so excited.
It's going to be so great, right?
I was so excited.
And then it wasn't. And it was the exact opposite of great.
Her grandmother died.
On screen, and I was like,
No one wants to see Beverly Kusher orgasm besides John Luke.
I don't even want to see John Luke get excited about that. I was not impressed. I was like, oh, my God. I can't handle this right now.
So basically,
there's this terraformed planet, and it's a kind of a replica of Scotland, and
which is strange.
Scotland's a great place.
No, it's just a strange thing. Sheep. Just like, let's make a whole planet like Scotland,
and then bagpipes that are made out of sheep.
Planet. You want to be on that?
I
planet.
I want to be on that.
And then haggis that's made out of sheep.
Haggis.
Hey, there are vegan Scots. All right.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just want to go to...
I went to vegan haggis.
I just want to go to Edinburgh.
We have broccoli, and we put it inside of asparagus, and that's our haggis. There you go.
Agmar would not approve.
Anyway, Beverly Crusher...
Orgasms.
Giggity.
All right, Peanut Gallery.
Actually, we got to watch a video after we're done. It's called The Sex Generation. There's so much implied, like, sexual stuff in Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much. No, but it's like a 10-minute video of people moaning. It's cool. It's great. We'll watch it after this.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
okay, so Beverly's Nana dies, and...
The Nana was getting sexed up by the same ghost.
Yeah. Hey, now.
I want to sex you up. Does that Color Me Bad?
I think that's who that band was. Anyways, that's a 90s band.
I know the song, but I don't know the band.
That should have been on there. It was that this episode is so bad.
It's so bad.
But it still didn't make my worst of worst. But it's pretty bad.
You know, it could have been good.
It could have been good.
It really could have been good.
It was an interesting premise. It just falls apart, I think.
So it was basically, in the end, it was an alien, right?
He was piggybacking off of...
the Crusher life force.
The Howards, the Howard family mm-hmm. line of women, and he never ages. He lives.
Couldn't drop that Howard tang.
He's like a parasite kind of thing.
Sorry.
Just got her notes.
I do have notes because I had to watch it again today because I wanted to know exactly how to describe it to you. He's an anaphasic being, so. He lives. He can only sustain life if he has like plasma sources. So he found out that his
he stands on the roadside will trade sex for plasma.
Yeah, I go for that.
He found out that the Howard women's their biology was compatible with.
So it just worked out for him, right?
So he could live like. He lived in a candle. Why this was like a plasma?
Such a bullshit.
Right.
Can't they just make just a plasma battery for him? I mean, like really? He's kind of like.
Well, he was feeding off of, the Nana died, so the candle wasn't burning. So he was living off of like the weather. Machines that were
the terraforming machines, yeah.
Terraforming machines,
yeah.
And then the funeral happened, and he saw Beverly, and then he started to
hubba hubba.
Creep. So basically,
he started to creep.
For centuries. So he's I like creep. 800.
Yeah. Keep it on the down.
When you hang,
I'm just gonna bring out all
do the
90s.
Creep.
Oh, I'm bringing all the
do
90s.
The creep. No, I think it's the Lonely Island Creep song.
The what song?
The Lonely Island Creep song.
The Lonely Island?
Don't even ask. Anything Dave says about music, just don't even go there.
Well.
Unless it's a Metallica song, forget it. That's all he knows. That's the only thing he's good for, encyclopedia knowledge of music.
Well, basically, at the end of the episode, come to the end of the episode, Beverly finds out that he's not really a ghost. I mean, mm-hmm. we didn't really describe this episode very well.
Watch Sub Rosa. Thank us later.
Right? Oh my god. So she realizes that this anaphasic being has been
molesting
her
grandmother.
Her grandmother and her mother's mother and that mother.
But her grandmother was into it, right? It's like her diary was like
she was in love.
Yeah, yeah.
And so were all the other women in her family line. And except for her mother, because her mother died or left, and it's funny because there's a comment in the episode.
Was it early in the episode?
All the women had bright green eyes, mm-hmm. and they only had bright green eyes because he was inside of them. He's like a green.
Okay.
But Beverly and her mother both had.
He's a leprechaun.
It's always after me, Lucky Charms.
Would you like a little bit of a little green in you?
It's just so uncomfortable because, like, she's
this
like
is a terrible.
And Jean-Luc comes to the house because she quits Starfleet, and she's
it's
sitting
like,
in her chair, being molested, but she's enjoying it so much. And Jean-Luc walks in, and he's like, Beverly.
Like,
oh, were you thinking of me? Were you thinking of sitting on my head?
What
I think you were.
What the? What the fuck are you doing here, Picard?
It's so uncomfortable. It's so bad. I can't.
There's so many, like, so many references I want to go into. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's just one of those things that just, like, if there was a sex ghost, would you...
You know what? Did you guys see Scary Movie, like the first one?
Yeah, I did, but it's been a while since I've seen Scary
There's a
Movie.
There's a girl who gets nailed by an invisible ghost against the wall of a bedroom, and she's mm-hmm. like thrown on the ceiling and stuff, and it's like, that's not funny, that's creepy.
Did you ever see the one with Dan Aykroyd and Ghostbusters in the middle of the thing?
Yeah, he just gets a blowjob by a ghost?
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's creepy.
Spectrophilia.
That's creepy.
That's what it's called, having sex with a ghost.
So gross.
I don't know, If I had a ghost that wanted to have sex with me, I don't think I'd have a problem with it. I just...
I think I would.
I don't know.
Depends what it looks like.
I don't have to see it.
She be invisible, mate.
I don't even care.
Well, some ghosts are supposedly going to project a form.
I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't even have to have a gender. As long as it's doing what it's got to do.
Oh, boy.
You know?
As long as it gets you where you're going.
Yeah. I'm not seeing it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think that that episode didn't need the sexual part. I think that they could have had a mental connection, and that would have been acceptable, and that they didn't need to throw in the intimacy, because that made it uncomfortable, at least to me.
This episode is uncomfortable to watch. It's I think it's contrived. It does feel like a romance novel to me, honestly.
Probably because
it's in Scotland.
Well, they got like a it's not a castle, but it's like an old stone house.
Lovely stone, like cabin.
And you know, it's got all the cliches to it. And it does remind me a lot of Janeway's
Fairhaven
stuff.
Yeah.
Which I'm just like, oh.
Those are listed as some of the worst episodes, but I think they're okay. Except for the one where she's like, oh, I'm gonna make him a perfect man, I was like, oh, Janeway, come on.
It
like,
never works.
You can't like
You can't change your man.
You know what? First
you can't change your man. You fall in love with the man you have.
It's so creepy that she's so controlling over the man that you like, the guy that she's supposedly in love with. She like tweets this program to me. It's just so like, that's so creepy.
Yeah. I read about her relation, and I was like, I'm not sure I want to watch that episode. Right
no, those are
I
those.
Think I'm gonna let it develop.
The first Fairhaven wasn't bad, I don't think, but I think it's the second one where she starts to fall in love with the guy, and like it's like, ugh.
Yeah, no, it just, it, but it's just I don't like, I don't understand the
this
whole
isn't and, the pub one. Like,
yeah, Fairhaven. It's a pub. They're a pub a lot in that one.
Yeah,
that's the guy she falls in love with. The guy who runs
he's
the pub
in the hologram, right?
I'm thinking the one where she's like the nanny to the kids.
Oh, that's early.
Yeah.
No, that's.
Yeah.
She doesn't try to manipulate that hologram to make him fall in love. Like, it's because
I can't remember. It's all in Victorian times, and I just want to put it.
The man's already in love with her because that's the part she's playing in that novel. And the Fairhaven's for the whole.
We're
it's like
all
a,
over the place.
Yeah, I know. I just want to put a nail in my head every time I see it. I don't.
Fairhaven's later in
you
the
series.
You know
what it is? I have an issue personally. And I never got it, and I know some people just adore it, but the whole Victorian time, mm-hmm. never got into it. I don't understand why people wrote.
I hate the classical novels. I
can't
love stand
steampunk.
Them.
Steampunk
is
steampunk.
Victorian.
Steampunk's cool.
Steampunk is cool,
but that's like,
but that's not classical. That's not classical
like,
novels.
Let's stay in Victorian.
But yeah, I mean,
like, let's
grow. You know, watch Wuthering Heights. I mean, it's like Wuthering Heights is supposed to be, you know, like. Heathcliff is supposed to be so in love with this girl. He's like so tortured, and it's just he's just an insufferable asshole through
right.
the whole thing. I just don't like him. I never liked him, and I don't understand why he's like this high watermark of romance.
Right.
You know,
I read Jane Eyre and Great Expectations. Like, oh my gosh, these books are just.
Although
like, I want to poke my eyes out.
Although
Moby
I gotta
Dick.
Say, I like Moby Dick, and I do like.
He must be into whaling then.
Do like good whaling season. Is it whaling season?
Because I mean, you could cut out like 85% of the pages
have you ever
of
seen,
that book, and you'd still have the entire story intact.
Have you ever seen Patrick Stewart's Captain Ahab with the guy who played Elliot from
E.T.? Yeah. Yeah, it was a good. I mean, like,
oh, what a
Moby
great
Moby Dick is a good movie because they cut out all the boring whaling parts, or you see it instead of having to read about it in deep description. Because I mean, like 85% of the book is like, this is how whaling works, and I'm like, I don't really care. Give me to the story. Let's get the revenge. Let's get like you know what happens when they're on the seas. Like most of it's whaling.
Into the Heart of the Sea.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh.
But I saw the Elliot from E.T. and Patrick Stewart one. That was good.
Yeah, no, I loved that
it,
one.
It was a good... Moby Dick can be a good movie. It's just hard to read.
Yeah.
Because it's 800 pages of nothing.
No, it's not 800 pages of nothing. That's not true.
Only 200 pages are worth reading.
I give you that it has long parts that... But that's a lot of Victorian novels.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't say Victorian writing. It's just like, I can't. I want to, like, die a little bit every time
so
I'm forced to read one
here?
Of those.
We're talking about Sub Rosa. Interesting thing about Moby Dick with Herman Melville, he actually wrote that for, I think, Hawthorne, because he was in love with Nathaniel Hawthorne. Mm. And, you know, he was obviously gay, and he could not express that.
I didn't know that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I like Moby Dick. Oh, and great.
That's why he went all into all those like penetration metaphors when they're talking about killing the whale.
The other one, it's just a side note, Great Expectation with Ethan Hawke and Gwyneth Paltrow is probably one of my favorite movies. The book itself does nothing for me, but something about it, it's just so romantic to me.
I don't think I've seen the movie, but I mean, like, I can see how Victorian novels can make good movies, maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, but just you're cutting out a lot of the inner dialogue, inner monologues, yeah, which are boring and
yeah,
stuff I don't care about.
I agree. There's not even the inner dialogue. The descriptions they give on certain subjects, I'm just like, skip. I'll be perusing the lines. Like, I'm sure this is beautifully written, but it's just going on too long.
Right.
It's like when you read the Bible and just like, God begot this and begot this and begot that.
Oh,
you're just
genealogy?
You're just like, can we just not put this in here because I don't care.
That's why they have so many different translations. Yeah, because people get fed up with it.
Well, you know, but you know, there's also like the Tolkien books. I mean, like Lord of the Rings, fantastic stories, and all that description let Peter Jackson make beautiful movies.
Yeah.
But like, I don't want to read that.
No, but there's some that's a little more condensed compared to these Victorian novels.
Sure, but still,
yeah. No, but the Victorian age is very difficult for me to really get into.
Like, there wasn't a lot of entertainment either, so no. All people had to do was read and take care of their estates.
Well, and like Tale Two Cities is a beautiful story, and I love that, but that's really drawn out.
Yeah.
Really drawn
out. Like animated series episodes.
I actually didn't read it. Oh.
But anyways.
But how would you make Sub Rosa better?
No spectrophilia.
Get rid of the creepy sex parts. You know, you can be intimate and connected with somebody without being sexual. And it just made me very uncomfortable.
Gene Roddenberry is a very sexual person. I think that's...
Well...
He might have been...
He was dead by this time.
He was dead by this time.
Yeah, he wasn't even around. He wasn't even part of that. It was just like...
I think they just wrote this for, you know, Gates McFadden, and they were like, we're going to do a saucy episode with you.
You know, the series is going out. It's season 7. Let's do something daring. And it was not...
Romance novel.
Work.
It was not... I don't know if it worked with anybody else. Like, I don't know... I mean, obviously, both of you guys didn't care for it. But I don't know how other people cared for it.
I don't think it's one I would skip, but I just kind of, like, roll my eyes at it as I'm watching
it. It's really not.
It could have been so good.
I don't know. I mean, I need to watch it again.
It's really cool. Like, he piggybacked from Scotland to this terrible
No, I agree. It's a good idea.
It's a cool idea, but no.
Not implemented.
All right.
What was I going to say?
Danger Zone.
Yeah, what were there any like
danger?
Was there any other episodes? I'm trying to think that were like an over sexualization of a character.
Oh, lots of times with Deanna Troi.
Well,
it was the time where
she was going to get married.
Where that guy comes on with his mom. And then,
I don't like the quotation marks. His mom,
and she ends up dying, but she's really some young chick that he just sucked the life out of. And then whenever she dies,
he goes on
to Deanna, and she gets like super like freaking horny and starts fucking everything on the ship.
Yeah.
And then whenever she gets, whenever he kind of rejects her as her lover, she goes even crazier and she starts aging.
Yep, I remember that.
She turns really old really fast.
How does she...
They severed the connection of whatever he was doing to siphon her life force or whatever.
Did she magically turn
That's a good point. I haven't thought about that episode either. Tell you the truth.
I think it's a pretty good episode. It's creepy. But I don't think it was a terrible episode.
Sub Rosa just is like... I don't know. There's something about it just...
Because she's in a room by herself and she's like imagining being pleasured and it's uncomfortable.
Maybe it's just happening. Like, maybe it's really happening.
Talking about it.
Invisible. You said that you have to see it, right?
No.
Maybe it was really happening.
Oh, God. No, because there were points in time where he was like actually materialized and he would like dissipate into this little green smisty stuff and go into her body and then she would.
She'd be like,
Yeah.
It's full body orgasm.
Okay, well, so that's, I agree, that's not a very good episode.
So my third and one is the Voyager episode. We're gonna go with the fight, where Chakotay is like spending the entire episode in a boxing ring.
Oh my god.
Oh, I hate Chakotay, but basically, basically they get stuck in some kind of like weird prismatic space or some weird dark space thing.
Not very clearly.
Basically, it's the same as this is Voyager's version of episode Night Terrors.
Okay,
it's a mix between Rocky and Night Terrors, and actually Tanya Holly on our. First worst, the worst episode, she picked Night Terrors as one of her worst, the worst. This is basically Voyager's version, except Chakotay's scared about going insane. He can't understand what the aliens are saying to him, and supposedly insanity runs in his family. So, like, Voyager's stuck in this place, and they're gonna die because this weird pocket of space will basically eventually kill the ship eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're trying to get him to open up and talk to these aliens who are, like, stuck in his head. Like, he's the only one that can communicate with them, just like Troy was the only one that can communicate with the aliens and Night Terrors.
Yeah, okay.
So, he's the worst acting, probably, of his entire career, or at least the Star Trek career in this episode. It's awful. Him being mad and trying to get over, like, I can't go crazy. I can't do it. It's just like, oh, come on, dude. Like, you do realize your entire crew and your own life is on the line here if you don't, like, talk to these guys. Or, right. And every time he goes into it, like, he sees his grandfather who's, like, crazy and is like, let's go over here. And I don't want to go home. And he keeps telling his dad to go take his grandfather to go take his medicine. And then, like, the space boxing ring is, like, a weird, it's not a square. It's like sort of triangle-ish, except it's got this little extra. Except it doesn't have one point. It's like it's weird. It's squared off on one side, mm-hmm. but the rest of it's kind of a triangle.
Like a pentagram?
No.
Okay.
It'd be interesting if it was a giant pentagram. No, but it's like it was like a triangle. One end was like kind of squared off instead of like being a perfect triangle. It's a really weird boxing ring. It turns out the guy is just like a weird space-looking thing. And, like, everyone's telling him he can't do it, he can't box.
I gotta go back and watch this. Do you remember what season this was?
Like, I think 5, 6, or 7. It was toward the end.
Okay.
It's just, oh.
What's it called again?
The Fight.
The Fight.
I want to see, it's probably season 5. Season 5 or later. Yeah, Voyager.
Wow.
Like, it's just not a good episode. It's a Chakotay-centric, and it's literally just, they're just ripping off of.
What's it called?
They're just kind of ripping off of,
The Fight. Voyager gets trapped in chaotic space.
Chaotic space.
It's a kind of Bermuda Triangle where sensors are useless and a straight line sends the ship running in circles.
Hmm.
It doesn't really say anything that you just described at
no,
all.
No, you see, like, these descriptions are like, hey, that sounds kind of cool.
And then you're like, someone wrote it and it's like, do not watch this episode.
No, the simple description sounds fine, but it's basically Night Terrors, except we don't have the pleasure of seeing Deanna Troi hung from wires in this one. We just have to see Chakotay box some random aliens here and there. I'm like, I just don't see how boxing is like really big in like the Federation. They're like this, you know, enlightened society, mm-hmm. and like I don't see how boxing is still a thing. In one of the episodes, Tuscany or whatever, the one that with The Rock and Seven of Nine have this intergalactic wrestling match, I can see other aliens having some kind of weird barbaric, you know, fighting matches, but like Earth being so like, you know, enlightened at this point, I just don't see how boxing was kind of still a thing.
Well, Sisko punches out Q.
He punches him once.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm sure he's familiar with history, but I mean, like, and he was doing an old style like boxing. I mean, he got the big barrel mustache
because
he was
maybe
like the 50s and 60s.
Yeah,
like it wasn't
50s and 60s. It was like the 30s.
The 30s mustache. But I mean, it wasn't like he was trying to do a modern like present day version of boxing.
Right.
So I mean, it's just weird that. That's still kind of a common practice. And the Doctor points out how barbaric it is every single time they talk about it. It's always designed to cause brain damage in somebody. And all these other alien races participate in boxing with Earthlings, too. I'm just like, what? This doesn't, like, seem very fair.
Yeah.
Especially Vulcans. Like, I'd hate to box a Vulcan because they're, like, super strong.
Yeah, beat the shit out of you.
Well, you know how you said that, you know, they're supposed to be enlightened?
Yeah.
That kind of brings it right back around to the new Star Trek series that they're coming out with, and they're talking about having cursing and stuff.
Cursing and swearing and nudity.
If they're enlightened, I mean, nudity, okay.
Nudity, sex happens. That's fine.
You can be edgier, that's totally fine. Like,
Enterprise tried to be edgy.
Yeah, well.
They had the two mostly naked chicks with the big long tongues eating butterflies in the first episode.
Yeah.
But that was fun.
But there wasn't any cursing. And it was, like, normal.
Star Trek doesn't need cursing.
They don't. It doesn't. It really doesn't. And if they want to do, like, sex and stuff, like, you know.
What would curse words be in the, you know, 23rd century?
I don't know. I was going to borrow a page out of Battlestar Galactica and say frack.
Yeah.
Well, like, it's definitely not Star Trek universe, but, like, did either of you watch Defiance?
Oh yeah, I saw the first episode. Like it was based off a video game, and the video game.
I'm pretty sure they made the video game after they made the show.
No, it was They were made in conjunction with each other to reference each other.
Because the season one video game was like the first video game was with season one. I know that.
Yeah, like they were made to run in conjunction with each other. I only watched the first episode. I was scared to go further with it because it being based on a video game property, I was scared it was just going to bomb.
Oh, well, they went two seasons, but anyway,
it's longer than Firefly. Got
Firefly.
Mm-hmm. Love Firefly.
Yeah, okay. Firefly's great.
So you know how Firefly, when they curse, it's like Chinese?
Yeah.
Well,
I love that.
Defiance did the same thing every time. You know, it was every time they cursed, they cursed in Chinese. And I just, you know, it wasn't really necessary for Star Trek. I can absolutely see it being, you know, fine. It's Mandarin, actually, not really Chinese. But
you know, I don't really care, honestly, either way. I just hope it's not like somebody going like, what the fuck, blah, 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 blah. You're just going for no reason.
Yeah, I that doesn't need to be in Star Trek. Yeah.
I think damn you or damn it
or
fine.
But McCoy's damn been saying that.
Exactly.
McCoy's or Data going, oh, shit. You know, it's like, I don't care. You know, it just doesn't matter.
But they don't need fuck or...
No, they don't.
No, it's not necessary.
I don't know. Also, I guess it has to do how realistic the situation is, too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, is it something believable or... I don't know.
If they're an enlightened society, it should be out of their vocabulary by then. Especially if they're... Now, the only thing is, like, if it's before Kirk, like, I could see that... It still wouldn't be as enlightened as, like, you know what I mean? Because they're still so used to.
Oh, because I mean, they're still like, I mean, like, you know, as we saw in Unification, like the cowboy diplomacy or whatever. So, like, there's still sort of the Wild West type mentality of the Kirk era. So, I mean, like, but even in Enterprise, there wasn't any swearing. I don't even think people said damn. I mean, maybe once in a blue moon in Enterprise, people said damn.
Yeah.
But I mean, in the original series, like, Bones said it all the time, but, like...
Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I can't think of... I mean, I'm pretty sure they said damn, like, once or twice in Enterprise, but I just can't...
It's not even that for me. Peg it on it's like, anything. I don't really care so much about swearing. I just think that it just shouldn't be a focus point. It just...
No.
Who cares? I just don't...
It should be organic.
Yeah.
The writing should be good.
Like, if they picked up a character that, like, was, like, in some kind of, like, you know, awful, hostile situation and they're a product of their environment.
Had Tourette's.
Well, that would be an... Actually, you know what? That might actually be an interesting character for Star Trek to have.
All I'm going to say
is... Their helmsman has Tourette's.
I've been to too many bus stops in my life, and people with Tourette's are not fun.
No?
No.
You don't think that they could function in society?
I'm not saying they couldn't function. It's just... It's not a... It's not as... People paint Tourette's as something that's wonderful, and it's really
I'm
not.
I'm not saying it's wonderful. I just think that...
I just like these guys just flip out over nothing. You're like, fuck, shit, goddamn bitch. You're like...
Oh.
You're just like, what the... And it's like out over nothing, you know. It's just like, what are you talking? Anyways, yeah.
I would probably start singing like, "You are my sunshine."
my fucking sunshine. No, I just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Enterprise or just Star Trek and squaring. I don't have problem with swearing. I just don't think that should be the focal point of anything.
No, not at all.
If they throw an F-bomb in there because, like, you know, their best friend died, okay, you know.
Do they still have, like original, like, writers or producers?
Well, there's a few of them still around, but I don't know who's really involved.
Brian Fuller has written the first 2.5 episodes before he left.
But he's not a... Well, he wrote... What, Voyager and...
He wrote a bunch of Voyager episodes. He wrote, like, I think, like, over 10 episodes for Voyager and, like, a handful for...
Deep Space Nine.
A couple for Deep Space Nine. Mortal Coil, that one time we had Larry on.
Mortal Coil is a good one.
That was the one that he did.
Yeah, I like Mortal Coil, actually. It was a great episode.
Was that Voyager?
Yeah.
Voyager, where...
Neelix goes crazy because he dies for a second and doesn't see an afterlife, and he's really conflicted about...
You know what episode I tried watching that I thought I would hate earlier today?
What?
The one where Tuvok and Neelix are blended because they go through the
transporter.
The transporter is all screwed up and it's called like
Tuvix.
Tuvix
yeah.
or something.
Yeah,
I
don't.
I was gonna hate that.
I don't like that episode.
I loved the makeup and stuff. I was like,
I think the guy who played Tuvix did a good job, but like the whole concept of the episode. And then, like, how like, you know, he's totally fine with killing two characters to still be his one self. And then how, like, it's like,
are we... the end of the episode, so come on now.
I thought you said you watched it.
I didn't finish it because okay. I was still looking for episodes that I might hate.
Okay.
And I didn't find them.
Well, I have two honorable mentions. I'll just do one honorable mention, actually. Okay. My Deep Space Nine original pick was going to be... The Muse, because it's a Jake Sisko episode, and you know how I feel about Jake Sisko.
Wait, which one is this one?
This is the one where this woman comes on board the ship, and she's like, she basically like steals your brain juice. She enhances your brain juice by rubbing your head. She massages your head, but she sucks the life force out of you by sucking out your brain juice.
Yeah.
And it makes you the most creative you ever could be for like a very short, intense amount of time.
Right.
And it kills the person. Mm. And you know, like...
I need her in my life.
I was gonna.
You would like to be.
We'll make the one best
die early.
We'll
just
make
do
the
something
one,
amazing.
The one best podcast that'll get the most listens ever. Yeah. Like it'll be the best.
It's like
thing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
If that happens, then you die.
The podcast of legends are written over. Did you ever hear that?
We'll be cited. It'll be cited forever because it was just the best one you ever did.
Yeah.
But The reason this did not make it onto my list is because it's a Luxana Troi episode, and I love Luxana
Troi. She's awesome.
So much.
She's so good.
She's in this episode. She's on the run from her husband and that race of her husband. Basically, if it's a male child, the man keeps it and doesn't see any woman for like, you know, 16 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like they got to go through puberty before they even see the opposite sex. Really weird stuff. And so so Odo comes up with a plan to marry her, so that. She can keep the child to herself because in the law it says the son is the property of the husband, not the father of the child. So, so Odo does this for her, and it's really good. It's really touching, and that's like half the episode because only half of it's
is it the one where they get stuck in the elevator?
No, this is a different episode.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
They reference that episode of he says how he. You know, showed his true self to her, and she didn't recoil.
That was a beautiful.
It's a beautiful episode. He references that episode, and during his wedding vows, because he had to prove to the current husband that he really loved her.
Yeah,
and so I mean, like, I love Luxana Troi, so like, I couldn't put this on the worst episode. I thought I was gonna hate it because I hate Jake episodes, but it was just like. I can't put this on my bad list.
I'm surprised you didn't pick any of the baseball ones or the solar ship one.
Oh, the baseball one is just too funny, though.
Yeah.
Like, the baseball one is great.
Yeah. I know. I'm just surprised you didn't pick those, but... yeah. Luxana Troi is just amazing.
Well, for me, the Kira episode trumped it, so I was like, yeah, I'm going to go with the Kira episode. And season one, because season one of...
Season one, of
DS9 is not so great.
No,
like I mean, I skip most of season one when I rewatch Deep Space Nine. So I mean, like it's Yeah. It's pretty tough for me to get through sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Honorable mention for me, obviously, and I know we've talked about it forever, is Thresholds. Thresholds. I didn't want to bring it up just because we've belabored it.
We've belabored it a lot of times, and it was one of my picks.
It's the worst
episode, so you should go back and listen to that.
It's an unexcusable episode. It's just, there's nothing.
Bad science, bad writing.
Tell me about Threshold. Maybe I've seen it, maybe I've not.
They say the word Threshold like 60 times in the episode. It's hard to miss.
Tom Paris goes past warp
9.9.
I have seen Fuse Voyager.
And then he
turns into a lizard.
He turns into a lizard, and so does Janeway.
He abducts Janeway.
I was looking for that episode because I saw it on the list of awful episodes, and I looked really hard. I wanted to see this episode.
Their tongues fall out.
Yeah, their tongues fall out.
These giant salamanders.
No, they're just, it's the dumbest episode.
He abducts Janeway.
Right.
Has sex with her.
Right.
Has children with her.
Leave them on the planet.
And
right?
Leave them on the planet.
I wanted to see this episode.
You know, I watched this 2 years ago or a year and a half ago with my wife. And
I remember you came to me at work and you told me how bad it was.
And I watched it and I was just like, and she even goes like, so they just left their weird mutated babies on the planet? Right. Like they just left them there? And like, she doesn't really get into Star Trek.
Or understand the Prime Directive or anything.
She just doesn't care, yeah. You know? And she was just like, that's a terrible writing. You know, it's like, I mean, she was just, and I was like, yes, this is probably one of the worst episodes out there of Star Trek, you know? But anyways.
For sure.
And we talked about other ones. Like I mentioned Spock's Brain before. Another one that I don't like, but I think still is saving, is Charlie X from original series.
Charlie X is bad.
But everything about Charlie X isn't terrible. It's more of just the fact that the guy who plays Charlie is so obnoxious.
Which is sort of the point, but at the same time, it's just kind of like...
Well, it's like you were saying, like, with... what's her name? From Deep Space Nine. Not Opaka. Ugh.
Kai Winn.
How Kai Winn is so insufferable. When you're just like, oh, I hate when she comes... She's the perfect villain. You hate her because she's just so... not just annoying, you just want someone to punch her in the face because she's so bad. And... Charlie and Charlie X is just such the annoying young teenager. You just want to take a 2x4 to his head. But everything else is there in the episode, you know? So, but that's not, it's, that's why I can't, I could watch Charlie X again and be like, you know,
I mean, you do get to see Neoman Rand in her night. So, I mean, it's not all bad.
I like Uhura singing. That was my high point.
Oh, Nomad doesn't like Uhura singing.
Nomad wipes her brain.
There you go. Threshold. Season 2, episode 15.
Was that season 2?
Yeah.
Wow.
See, you found Threshold, but when I was looking online, it said that the title was like the speed of light or something. Yeah, faster than light is what the episode online said. And I was looking for that episode because I was like, I need to know if this
I looked at a couple of those lists and the episode titles or numbers were wrong on a couple of them when I was looking them up.
Yeah. Well, these are ones there could be other ones like in Next Gen and Deep Space Nine, because Deep Space Nine.
The first two seasons are very tough.
Well, but not just that, but there's so many damn episodes in Deep Space Nine. That I haven't revisited in a long time, there could be more that's out there. But these are the ones that immediately came to mind for me.
Code
of Honor was so bad. Empath and Alternative Factor.
Yeah, I had to look for mine. I watched quite a few episodes this week of ones that I thought were bad, and some weren't as bad as I thought. But if you guys think we're wrong, and you know we didn't agree. With every one of our picks, I mean, I picked the one that Aaron kind of liked. So, I mean, if you disagree,
if you like Sub Rosa,
We want to hear about it. If you liked any of the ones.
If you like Alternative Factor, I want to hear some hard facts. If you like The Empath, you need to check yourself into a hospital.
You might need your own empath.
You know what? I reached out to a couple of friends. Well, I say a couple of friends, but on a fandom Facebook page that I'm involved with, to ask what their thoughts on were the worst episodes of Star Trek were. And, like, if you guys have any idea on an episode that I should watch that is really bad.
Yeah, let us know.
Let them know, and they'll let me know, and I will watch them, and then I will be better off.
You'll be like, why did you make me watch this?
Like, I enjoy that. I would love that.
Well, just put it, just tag Holly or you know, just say Holly on our Facebook group.
Yeah.
She's part of our Facebook group, so you can just tag her there.
Exactly.
For, hey, Holly, watch this terrible episode.
This is terrible. Yep. Hey, is this milk sour? Smell it. Taste it.
Or if you can't tag Holly for whatever reason.
It's like everyone goes like, taste this milk. I think it's sour. He's like, I think I'll pass.
I think I'll take your word.
It looks like cottage cheese.
Like, I'll taste the milk.
Let me try that.
If it looks like cottage cheese, it might not be good anymore.
Yeah.
No. But if your milk starts looking like cottage cheese,
you might need to
not drink that.
Or
sniff it. You might die.
You got problems. Yeah. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of good in Star Trek, but there are a lot of bad. I mean,
over 700 episodes.
I'm having a hard time finding the bad.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, especially with like 3D stuff, I just get into the thought of like, how did they do that? So even if it is bad, I'm still appreciating.
If you watch the Empath, you won't even have any questions because it's all in a black. There's a black background.
Watch Thresholds and let us know what you think of that.
I will. Season 2, episode 15.
Yeah.
Threshold. That's my tomorrow while Michael is still asleep, and I'm gonna watch that. Or maybe when you guys leave.
Self torture.
Yeah, you'll be just like no, why?
Clawing your eyes out at the hideousness.
Came with the
him with his tongue falling out.
No, it was the two worms. The salamanders on the ground.
Oh, it's so bad.
And I was like, I need to see this.
It's not.
No. We were warning you, don't watch this. It's awful.
It scientifically makes very little sense. And then last of all, it's just the story. It's just like,
it
what?
Breaks yeah. Prime Directive. It just doesn't make any logical sense.
Well, you know, I hope that everybody that listened tonight actually goes back and rewatches
these
episodes. And they can like
drink that sour milk.
You know what? You guys have a glass of wine or a beer.
I've gone through 3 already.
And just like, watch the episode. Maybe you guys will think the same thing we think. If not,
yeah.
You can
email them. Like,
email us at simpleholics@yahoo.com. But where can we find you on social media, Holly?
Well, on social media, I do have a page. It is Facebook at Holly Michelle V. That's my voiceover stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, and I have a website. HollyMichelleIconVoice.com.
All right.
Fun nice. Stuff.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, you can find... What about Twitter?
Well, I have a personal Twitter, but I don't
You don't want
have,
people stalking like, you there? Voice. That's fine.
Well, I don't even... Like, people in my hometown don't even know I have a Twitter, so... So maybe I should make it
Nobody
to
knows.
Nobody knows my sorrow.
Nobody knows who you are.
Well, you can find us online on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo. You can follow me individually at David_Dan_Duncan. And most of all, you can our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com and at Warp 11 on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Where can they find you, Aaron?
Blackbird 2004.
And Guy at GS Davis Art.
Mm-hmm. If you want to show us some love, you could definitely go on to iTunes and give us some ratings and reviews. You give us lots of stars. Let us know what you think if you enjoy the show. Because the more you give us ratings and reviews, the more people will start getting to see our show. So,
yeah, we want...
And that feeds the content, too.
Yeah, and the more people we get on, we can learn more about what you guys want and prepare shows that are kind of like... What you're wanting to hear. I mean, we don't have a lot of feedback, and we hope you enjoy what you do get. But, I mean, we do like some input here and there to see, you know, what you want more of.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's just like us shouting into the void.
And hope it sticks.
Right?
In space, no one can hear you podcast.
Because it's worth it, you know?
Yeah. And, we also have a Patreon. If you want to throw a couple bucks our way, you can go to us on our Patreon page.
Yeah, whatever you feel like donating, you can donate whatever you want. Hired things, we do provide some services, like being a guest on the show or providing topics.
I think I offered to run naked through the forest one point.
Yeah, you did. We didn't write that on the Patreon, though.
No.
But,
nobody was interested.
We didn't get any emails from Ultimate or anything about that.
We did say, if you want to see this happen.
We need some emails for ideas for perks that you might want to see. So definitely check out our Patreon. Guy Davis also has a Patreon, so you can support his art because he is an artist for a living.
That's right.
He does the USS Tamerlan, and he does
The Witches in Flame,
which is a alt history on what if the Apollo program never ended.
Right. Absolutely.
How did they get to Mars with the Apollo? It'd be pretty cool.
And were there Martians?
There was a movie, The Martians.
I didn't see it.
You should see it. It's very good.
Very good movie.
It won, like, Best Comedy, and that confused me.
What?
Yeah.
Did it?
I watched one award show, and I'm pretty sure that it won a comedy award, and I was like, I thought that was a very...
There were some comedy parts to it.
Was there?
Yeah. I mean, like, funny...
Not the part where he had to pull shrapnel from his chest and then, you know, sew himself up. That's always good for laughs.
Hilarious. Well, the fact that it won a comedy award, I was like,
It's a good movie.
Hmm. Matt Damon, best comedic actor.
Well, then again, there's Matt Damon, and there's only been one Matt Damon movie that I really liked, and it was
The Martian?
Oblivion.
I don't know if I've seen Oblivion.
No?
I can't remember.
That was a good one.
That was Tom Cruise.
Oh, you're right. Matt Damon was...
Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman.
The one where he... Well, I don't want to give away the ending. It's called... Matt Damon...
Good Will Hunting?
No, he works in a plant and he gets radioactive.
Jay and Silent Bob? Oh, I know. Dogma?
Neither of those. he's exposed to radioactive stuff and he's dying. And he gets, like, this computer put in the back of his head, and there's an orbiting moon-ish, like, planet space station above the planet, and...
I can't think of the name.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
What's her name? She's an amazing villain. I've never seen her as a villain before. I just had it in my brain.
It's been a while.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not helping.
I've not seen many Matt Damon movies, so I can't help you. I'm sorry.
There's this thing called Google.
Yeah, IMDb. Matt Damon. Elysium?
Yes, that's right. I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, Elysium. Okay.
Elysium. Oh, it's so good. And that's like the only Matt Damon film that I actually really like.
Interesting.
I never saw that one.
But you know what? I did buy the Bourne books. So I'm going to read the Bourne books.
See if they're any good.
And maybe if I like the books, maybe I'll watch the movies. A beer off. We just went corn mazing. Sorry.
Corn
for that.
Mazing.
That's what we call it now. Is that a rabbit hole? We're going corn mazing.
Corn mazing.
Oh, you know, the Indians called it corn maze, so it wouldn't be maze mazing.
Maze mazing.
It's amazing.
Amazing.
The Cherokee treat. Well,
we call it corn.
Thank you for sticking with us through this new Worst of the Worst episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Like I said, email us at theholics@yahoo.com if you have any objections or want to voice your worst of the worst.
Yeah, please let us know what you hate.
And tell them what I should watch.
Yes. Post your worst of the worst episodes on the Synthaholics group page.
I would love to see that.
Facebook.com/group/Synthaholics.
Yeah, throw that out there.
So join the group, join the fun. We post fun stuff, silly stuff, weird stuff, science, actual science stuff.
Once in a while, science.
Actual science. It's pretty good.
Yeah, hard science. And let somebody know about the show. You know, just say, hey, you know, do you like podcasts? Just go up to some random stranger.
Do you like comedy? Do you like Star Trek?
Do
you like incoherent maze mazes?
Maze mazes?
Do you like listening to drunk people babble?
Yeah.
Hey, hey.
This is the show for you.
Place for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let them know.
Well, thank you all so much for listening, guys. Live long and prosper. And we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. Sorry, but Holly wasn't holding her mic up, so check.
Check.
Hello.
Check.
Hello.
Did you just say hello?
Hello. Wait, why do people always want to talk in British accents?
Because it's funny.
And it's addicting.
It's classy.
I do wish I was British because I think just people would just love me automatically.
Yeah, bread Americans eggs. Have a tendency to gravitate towards
if me. If you just came in the blue, like if you were at, like in moved
so from, they could take us over.
Like if you moved to another city and you just start talking in British accents and just said you were like from Essex or something like that, people would just be like,
Manchester!
Oh, so interesting.
Yeah, they would just be like, oh my God, and you know.
Did either of you guys watch The Good Place?
Oh, I got some doozies.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because I had some hard times.
Did you?
I did.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen all of this. Sorry, go ahead.